From Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we hear these words, "Therefore, God will give you a sign. Look, a young woman will conceive and bear a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel." How many times have you heard those words in the last few weeks as you've listened to Classic FM on the ABC, or you've been to a presentation of Messiah? Yes, I can remember my late mother with a contralto voice. I can remember her telling the story with a contralto voice singing, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And she was pregnant with me at the time. These words come again and again and again to us through this season of Advent and into Christmas. However, they tend to wash over us. Sometimes we may stop and we may try to apprehend what they are saying. But are you aware that these words provoke considerable debate amongst scholars of the scriptures? Who is the child? Who is the mother? When and where did or will the child appear? Now remember, this is Isaiah who is prophesying these words. I spent hours and hours grappling with this. And I came to the point where, like Matthew, I see within it a foreshadowing of the birth of Christ, the Messiah, God's anointed one, and his amazing mission of salvation. That's how Matthew uses these words. He saw indications of Messiah throughout the Old Testament. What could be more natural for Matthew, who was Jewish? I wonder what came to your mind this morning when you heard this reading from Isaiah that Anne shared with us. I suspect that most of you immediately thought of Mary and her son Jesus. Again and again, we think how Jesus fulfilled the expectations of the Old Testament prophets. And I'm sure especially at this time of the year, we think of the coming of Messiah at Bethlehem and his coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the last days. We see so many pointers to Jesus in the Old Testament because God is a God who is working out his purposes in history, especially through the Jewish people and in God's perfect timing through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Messiah. So let's put a context to these words that we heard from Isaiah this morning. We're in Jerusalem, which is the capital of the southern kingdom, around about 735 BC. The prophet Isaiah is confronting his king, something that prophets sort of did, but I think you'd have a few flutters as you did so. The king's name is Ahaz. It's in the kingdom of Judah. Israel's to the north. And the king has a crisis on his hands. The northern kingdom of Israel has gone ahead and formed an alliance with Syria against Judah, against the southern kingdom. And the key issue is simply this: will Ahaz continue to put his faith in these kinds of political alliances, or will he turn to God as the sole source of his strength and direction? As you read through the book of Kings, you find great slabs about kings that were really, really good and honourable in God's sight. You don't read much about Ahaz. He doesn't get much at all. He was one of those who gets passed over fairly quickly. He was a guy who was intent on political alliances, whilst at the same time he wanted to maintain this outward show of religiosity and piety before his people. So we see Isaiah confronting Ahaz, but Isaiah challenges him and he says to him, "Ask God for a sign that you can trust, any sign from the skies above or from the earth below." But Ahaz remains true to type, sly and evasive. He puts on a pious act. You just hear him say, "I will not ask God for a sign. I will not put the Lord to the test." And probably those who are in the court thought, "Well, that's great. You know, that's quite right. Well done, King Ahaz," and so on. But his real reason for not wanting to do this is because he's already made up his mind that he's going to seek an alliance with Assyria. He must have been more than surprised when Isaiah answered, "Well, you're going to have a sign anyway." I think that's terrific. Just the way this reads. Here's this king feigning piety. "Oh, I couldn't do that." "No, no, no. Well, you're going to have one anyway. And here it is. Our God will give you a sign. Look, a young woman shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." And he goes on to warn that before the child is old enough to choose between right and wrong, God will have brought disaster on the alliance between Israel and Syria. Their territories will be wasted. Another sign to take God at his word. Signs are around us everywhere, every day. Almost everywhere we look, most of us find signs. Some confuse us, some amuse us. For those who are listening, we're flicking through some slides of signs. Yes, someone identifies with that one. Go ahead, pull your huge SUV in at the last minute. Everyone's okay with it, not with this little bunny. I hope you can read that. If cats could text you back, they wouldn't. And the other one is dogs have owners, cats have staff. So you cat owners, now you know who you are, all right? This one's a bit unfortunate, a coming together of signs that would best be separated. From a Baptist church, whoever stole our air conditioning units, keep one. It's hot where you're going. So these signs are all around us, if only we look. If only we look. A Sunday school decided they were going to have an impromptu Christmas play. I just love these when they happen, you know. People rock up to an event and someone says, "Let's have a Christmas play." And all the kids go, "Woo," you know. And you come down the front and there are dressing gowns and tea towels and angel's wings and all the rest of it. You've been there and you've probably been involved in it. Or as a parent, you've been going, "Go on, go down there, have a go." "I don't want to go, Mum." You know, you've been there. So the teachers have got the story, and they read the story out first of all so the kids know what to do. And the time comes to get into the type. So one little girl grabs a doll that was down the front. She says, "I'm going to be Mary." And a little boy says, "I'll be Joseph." And some of the shepherds would be put on their dressing gowns and their tea towels. Some of the angels put on their wings and they're all ready to go. And one little girl is standing back and she's looking at all the others and she's really not sure what she's going to do. And then she has a brainwave and she says, "I will be the doctor who delivers the baby Jesus." So you can imagine, they will take their places. Mary has the pillow under her top. She's all ready to deliver. And the time comes and the doctor reaches inside and he takes out the doll and he holds it up by its ankles. And Joseph, wanting to be a really good dad, says, "Well, Doc, what is it?" And the doctor thinks for a while and she says, "Well, it's a god. It's a god." That caught you, didn't it? Just as Isaiah caught Ahaz when he told him the sign. So centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah gives Ahaz a sign that there would be a baby born and he would be named Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And Matthew wasn't the only one who acknowledged the signs that Isaiah had talked about. The angels were also ones who gave signs. The angel says to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. and this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger. And the angels come to the shepherds. Look at the baby. When you see that baby, you'll be looking at the Saviour, Christ the Lord. In our life of faith, I think signs are a tricky business. They can be a bit of a minefield. To demand that God prove himself is to many people faithlessness. That's the line that Ahaz took when he said he didn't want a sign. Yet on the other hand, to refuse to believe a sign that God gives is also faithlessness. It's a matter of discernment, you see. In the confrontation with Isaiah and Ahaz, it's God who is offering the sign, and to turn your back on such a sign is to pass judgment on yourself. For the Jews, the mighty signs of God had been the deliverance of their nation from bondage in Egypt. The remarkable works of God, the crossing of the Sea of Reeds, the manna in the wilderness, the final entry across the River Jordan into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, these signs of God were all signs of God's salvation, God's loving grace to them. And so Matthew highlights the sign of Isaiah. Luke touches on the same sign as the angels tell the shepherds that this will be the sign to you. This isn't someone begging God for a sign. It's God taking the initiative, giving a sign that will transform the world. Emmanuel, God with us. Yet this sign is the reason why we gather to worship. God with us. God present. Although it may be seen by some as faithlessness to ask for a sign from God, it's also grave faithlessness to ignore the signs that God has given. We're now in our second decade as the Burnside City Uniting Church. Was the amalgamation of four congregations to form our congregation just someone's bright idea, which then got sold to the rest? Was the foundation of our congregation just to create a great building on Portrush Road so that the thousands who go by could just look at it for a split second? Wonder what that is. I don't believe that that was the case. We are here as a sign to our community. It began with that challenges for churches within the Burnside Council area to consider how they could provide a more effective Christian witness to this part of suburban Adelaide. I was a bit blown away when we did our recent internal census. It indicated there are now 453 attenders, of whom 363 are active. And if you had a look at the reports that came to the annual meeting that we held recently, you'll see that there were 39 activities that reported into that meeting and into that booklet. When you read them, and I hope you will read them, and I hope you have read them, you will begin to get a bigger picture of what God is doing within the congregation and what the congregation is doing in the will of God, in the wider community, and in the world. These are signs of hope that God's purposes are continuing to be worked out in and through us. Signs of Emmanuel, God with us. Signs of the presence of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour, whose Spirit is with us. Do you ever feel sorry for Joseph? He's the silent man of the Nativity. He says something that is very significant. He's going through this turmoil that this girl to whom he is betrothed is pregnant. He hears from the angel that the Father is the Holy Spirit, God. But he also heeds what he hears. Joseph's obedience allows Jesus to be adopted as a true son of God. It's Mary's role to allow Jesus to be born the Son of God, but by being named by Joseph, Jesus is incorporated into the Davidic line from which the long-awaited Messiah will come. And he names him Jesus. Jesus. 700 years after Isaiah spoke those words we heard this morning, there's this teenage girl betrothed to marry Joseph. She has a visit from an angel who tells her that she's going to be the human vehicle through which Messiah, the Messiah of God, would come and enter this world. And somewhere in the confusion and surprise of this miraculous pregnancy, we read a quote from an old prophet who stands toe-to-toe with his king and announces to anyone who will hear, "The name shall be Emmanuel, God with us." He's saying to the nation, God will be with us. Hang in there. You will see what God can do. But Ahaz really doesn't want any of this. He just wants to link with Assyria. We live in a world where it's often hard being Christian. It's difficult to trust in God amid the everyday dilemmas of our life. We're constantly challenged by events which diminish or completely ignore the stance of the Christian gospel. The internet keeps us in touch with what's happening on a global scale. We've never been more aware of the activities of evil and injustice undermining countries and communities and individuals worldwide. And in such an environment, it's easy for us to become discouraged and fearful and forget who we are. Let me remind you that we bear the sign of the cross and should always remember our baptism and be thankful that we are God's children. This is who we are. This is to whom we belong. Jesus calls us to look to him in all circumstances of our life, as by his Holy Spirit he continues growing in us more and more, growing us more and more into his likeness, more and more into his way of life every day, helping us to trust God more and more in all the circumstances of our life. We would have an easier time with the problems of life if we would constantly look and watch for the signs of God at work in us, around us. We would have a much easier time in life if we lived in the confidence that God is with us. Emmanuel. Let's pray. A God of Mary and Joseph, keep alive in us the faith that you are still at work in ordinary people, accomplishing extraordinary things. When we become anxious and cannot discern your pattern in the jigsaw of our affairs, bring us back to the basics of trust and obedience. Lead us forward one step at a time, one day at a time. Give us the humility to leave the overall picture to your generous and ingenious wisdom. For we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.